All right, we continue our series today, our summer series, and at the rate we're going, I think it's going to also be our fall series. We are going through 1 Thessalonians. We are still in chapter 2 and working our way, and there are 5 chapters in Thessalonians. The series is called Quintessential, and that's a fancy word that means something to imitate, representing the perfect example of a class or quality. And we call it quintessentials because the church at Thessalonica, when Paul writes this letter, he does not confront them or correct them on anything. He praises them and then instructs them about what is to come in the future. And so this is a church to imitate. And today we're going to look at what they did so that we can also imitate. And it's a simple title for the message. It's called The Word of God. Are you receiving or rejecting the Word of God? And my simple mission today is to entice you, to motivate you, to inspire you, to make the Word of God not just a part of your life, but the main focus of your life, in the sense of what or whom are you listening to? And that's my question as we begin. Who do you listen to? And the reason I ask that is because many years ago, I stopped listening to the network news. As I observed how they reported news and why they were reporting certain news and why they wouldn't report other news, like good news, I felt like I was being manipulated and coerced into fear, anxiety, and I just like, you know, they are not the ultimate authority, although they portray themselves as an authority, and they put a lot of money into convincing us and manipulating our emotional conditions to a way that betrays our faith in God. For example, everybody remember the earthquake that happened in Kamchatka a couple weeks ago. I decided to just look at one, and it wasn't on television, it was on social media, and one broadcast on, I think it was through Facebook or something, but it was some channel, and I was just like, at the end of the report on the earthquake, I was fearful. I was convinced there was a tsunami coming to the west coast of the United States. And so everybody was kind of up in arms. Tina, can you put the cursor on the... I've lost control here. There. Is it that slide going to the next one? Pause, because there's a picture. You probably all saw this picture. Try that. Okay, yeah. Everybody saw this picture. The earthquake happened on the upper left-hand corner, and they were saying we could get some devastation on the west coast of the United States. And I'm like, you know, it's remotely possible. But it affected a friend of ours who decided to leave their place that where they lived close to the ocean, and they moved and went away and stayed with their daughter who was inland. And the big report, I remember, the next couple of days was the devastation was in Santa Monica, the waves increased 6 inches. That's not even enough to ride on a surfboard, is it, Maddie? And I just went, and everybody was like, ah, and I just went, it was just another example of the way the news likes to manipulate us, to affect us emotionally, and usually it's negative, it's usually fear, usually it's anxiety. And so I'm very careful where I get my news. I don't ignore the news, I get my news from sources. But the world puts a lot of money into convincing you to either act or feel or to buy or to want. The world is after your money. And that's what the bottom line is. They're after your attention. They want you to pay attention to them. But it goes back to us, our responsibility. Who are you listening to in your life? You could be listening to a peer, a friend. You could be listening to a coworker. You could be listening to, hopefully you're listening to your family and they're not going to steer you wrong, but who are you listening to? And so in our passage today, we're just going to do one verse today because I tried to go longer, but it's like there's just so much packed in this one verse. I didn't want to get too far and miss the meaning, the blessing of it. Here's our verse for the morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul says to this Thessalonian church, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." Now, we hear human words all the time. Our problem is we give heavy weight and influence and credence to those human words. What I want to challenge us today is to have a heavier opinion, give heavier weight to the word of God, not the word of man. What words are we hearing? What messages are we hearing and receiving and allowing to guide our life? And it's just funny how some people do some pretty crazy things because of the messages they are paying attention to. There's thousands of messages we could choose. It all goes back to which one are you going to choose to follow? This weekend, our granddaughter had her first birthday party, and so we ordered a kind of a step stool, a kind of caged-in step stool for her so that she could stand with her mommy while her mommy's in the kitchen. Well, it came in a box, and whenever it was kind of like an IKEA box. It wasn't exactly an IKEA box, but you've all bought IKEA things. And when you get an IKEA box and you open the box, what does the box look like? It's got 100 little pieces in it. It's got a lot of little screws in it. It's got some dowels. It might even have a tool or two. And it's just, I pulled everything out of the box, and there was like 30 pieces of wood. It's like, what do you do with this mess? And this is what our life is like. When we live our life, it's like there are so many moving parts in life. What do we do with the mess? And it wasn't until I got everything out of the box, at the bottom of the box was the instruction manual. And so without looking at the mess that was all around me, I started on page 1 of the instruction manual and started slowly putting everything together. And by the time we were done, voila, there it was. It was put together. We have an instruction manual for our life. It's called the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. It stands for Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. Got that one down? You boys got that, Elisha? Okay, got it? Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. This will help you. This will give you, as Scripture says, prosperity and success. And Jesus tells a story. The first parable he tells was about receiving the Bible, the Word of God, in the parable of the sower and the seed and the soil. And he says, if you don't get this story, won't get the rest. This story is so popular. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke in those chapters. So if you ever want to read the different versions, they're right there. But he says, others like seeds sown on good soil hear the word, accept it, and receive and produce a crop. They accepted and received the word of God, the Thessalonian church. So our question for the morning is, how do we receive the word of God, so it benefits our life. And three simple points, but three points that we can easily ignore if we get distracted or if we decide to listen to someone or something else. The first thing that has to happen if we are going to be like the Thessalonian church who received the word of God as God's word, as the creator of the universe, as the designer of this life, the first thing we have to do is simply this. To receive God's word, we must choose to hear it. And hopefully that's what you are doing here today. Although there are some people who do come to church and they don't hear it because you're thinking about this person you're looking forward to seeing or this person who's really irritating you or you're looking forward to doing something else or you're thinking about what you did yesterday. We're trying to focus in on what is God saying to you today. Paul said to them, when you receive the word of God which you heard from us, we have to choose. We must choose to hear the word of God. Now, hearing is not just with our ears. We can hear with our eyes. It's just showing what are we bringing into our thinking, into our lives, so that we can understand what's being heard. And we, of all generations in human history, have the greatest access to God's word than any other group in human history. I mean, we talk about the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages was because there's no education going on in the world in Europe. But today, if you have a cell phone device, anybody have one of those? You can have so many versions, not just a version of the Bible, but all the versions you want of the Bible in your pocket, so that at any point in your day, in your life, if you have 5 minutes that you have to wait on somebody, you can pull out your Bible, your cell phone, and you can hear God's word by opening up the app and looking at what God has to say to you. The problem is not our access. The problem is our desire to hear it. It's kind of like the little joke. My wife just stopped and said, "You weren't even listening to me, were you?" And I thought, that's a pretty weird way to start a conversation. Some of you have lived that. And we just simply say, "I don't want to hear it. I'm rejecting it. I'm ignoring it. I don't want to hear it." The problem is not access. In our world, in our culture, now there are some places in the world that may not have the Word of God yet, but in this culture, you have more access to the Word of God than any other culture in human history. And I want to challenge you to take advantage of it. Let's talk about our devices, screen time. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one whose delight, and that's where it starts, what do you want? Whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law, on his law, day and night. If you don't have this app on your phone, download it, access it, put it on your phone. And we were talking with the youth couple of weeks ago, and Tony, we were talking about screen time. How much time do we spend on our phone? And Tony pulls out his phone and he opens up the settings app and then he scrolls down to this piece right there. It's on Apple phones. I don't know if it's on Android phones, but it has this little line called screen time. And you click on screen time and it shows you how much time you have spent looking at your phone or at whatever device you have. And then if you go deeper into it, it'll show you how much time you spend on each app on your phone. And if this Holy Bible app, Bible U-verse, I think it's called, U-version Bible app, if that's on the, it shows you how much time you've spent in the Bible that week. Go ahead, pull out your devices. Go ahead, see where your priorities are. And my encouragement to the youth was that reduce your screen time on this other stuff and increase your screen time on the Bible. And, you know, the Bible it's an eternal word of God. And so sometimes you don't need a lot of screen time because you read one verse and that can change your life forever. But as we read it and we meditate on it, it changes, it affects our life, and we listen to God's word. So I'm going to challenge you, pay attention to your screen time. Then the second thing that is available to all of us is that creation speaks of God. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Creation's all around us. It declares the glory of God. It screams about God. It tells about God. Are we listening? I mean, the beauty of our own little solar system, which is gigantic, but then you go even further out and see how small our solar system. It's amazingly telling of its designer. And I came across this thing this week on Facebook. That thing, a colorful thing, this isn't a painting. It's the most detailed image of a human cell to date, obtained by this fancy way to take microscopic pictures. It's almost like a city and all the different components of a city. And if you take anything out of that human cell, the whole thing collapses. You talk about a design that demands a designer. It's incredible. All the things that God made tell of who he is. The question is, are we listening? And then there are churches all around us. I mean, there's not as many churches here, but there's a lot of churches around here. I mean, you go back east in the United States, it's like on the corner there's a church, halfway through the block there's a church, on the other corner there's another church. Everybody has their churches. And the problem is not availability and access. The problem is, what are you wanting to hear? Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Don't be a psychology major. Be a scriptural teacher. Be prepared in season, out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I want to challenge you to get in the Word of God. And as I post this picture, I say, there's a lot of people who still use an actual Bible like that with paper and ink. Most people today use a digital copy of the scriptures. Who or what are you listening to? And I would challenge you to every day read something of God's word. That's the example of the Thessalonian church to us. The second thing that must be done for us to receive God's word is we must choose to believe it. The word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Some people will read the word of God and not believe it. It's the examples that Jesus gives in the story of the sower and the seed. He says the first soil or those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The path represents those who they hear the word of God, but they don't allow it to affect their life. And then, so there's competition in our life. A lot of us are more committed to comfort than commitment. The third soil or the second soil of the sower and the seed is those on the rocky ground are ones who receive the word of God with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. When you say, yes, that sounds good to me, I want to follow Christ, I want to accept Christ as my Savior. And then when life gets hard, we say, well, I didn't sign up for this, so I'm going to get rid of all of that, because we are more into our own comfort than commitment to Christ. So that's one of our competitions that we all have, that we're more committed to comfort than we are committed to Christ. Another competition is we want to be, is those of us who control more than trust. This is the representative of the third soil, where the seed fell among thorns, and it stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries. Something scary out there. I can't control it, so I'm going to worry. I'm not going to trust God's word. Their riches. These riches are how I control my life. And pleasures, these are what I really just want in life, and they do not mature. These people are more into controlling their own life instead of trusting God to do his work. And then another piece of competition is our culture. The customs and cultures of our life. If we spend our life inundating ourselves with the entertainment world, inundating our life with the news, what the news says is true, and we give them weight, we fall prey to what our culture is saying. It's like the situation where Jesus visits Mary and Martha. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And you know what the story says? She came over to Jesus and complained that Mary was not helping her serve. Was Martha wrong in preparing for her guest that was there? On the one hand, no, she wasn't wrong, because she was people did in hospitality societies. They worked, they served to prepare for their guests. But Mary herself knew who Jesus was and knew that the most important thing was to sit at his feet and listen to his word. Where everybody in culture is doing the same things and avoiding the word of God, everybody's missing the word of God. And Jesus told Martha, says, Martha, Martha. You know, when someone uses your name twice, you know you're in trouble. And he says, what Mary has chosen is the most important thing. Don't let custom and culture take you away from hearing God's word. Network news, secular media, social media, it's competition to what God has to say. Then there's a couple of convincers before we get too far past this. Prosperity and success is promised, and this is not the prosperity gospel. This is just the fact that what happens when you take the word of God, you hear it and believe it and you obey it, then it promises prosperity and success. In Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know, our country was built on a Judeo-Christian ethic. And we're going to talk about the specifics of that in a minute. But one of our presidents, President Reagan, said this about our country and the greatest influence on our country. He says, of the many influences that have shaped the United States of America into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. And as I pondered that, I go, what were the founding thoughts of this country? and we look at our Declaration of Independence, and you look, and if you really think about it, you just think, that is phenomenal. It starts out, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created, number one, equal. We are not evolved equal. We are created equal. That they are endowed by whom? Their Creator, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Just the fact that the phrase, the word Creator, is in our founding documents sets this country apart from most other countries in human history, because in our founding documents, we acknowledge what the Bible says, that we are created. And because we are created by a Creator, we have these three unalienable rights. One is life, where murder is wrong. Abortion is wrong. Anytime that we cherish life, because God created us. Government wants to convince us ever since then, and always throughout human history, that government gives us our rights. No, God gives us our rights. And any government who submits to that sets a people free. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is not guaranteed. You got to go find it. You got to go get it yourself. But this is founded upon what God has said in the Scriptures. Prosperity and success have promised. And then another convincer is the Bible prepares us to be good people. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, every one of us, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is hard to keep doing good all the time if you have selfish motives or less than God-centered motives. But when you are convinced that God is good and that God has designed us to be a blessing to other people, sometimes doing good works, you pay a price for it, but you keep doing good things for other people because you know God has been doing good for you, and you just keep doing good for others. So the whole thing about, you got to hear God's word. You got to believe God's word. But if you stop there, you're no better than Satan. Because believing in Jesus and obeying the word that's what Satan doesn't do that. Satan believes in God, but he doesn't do anything about it. He is the enemy of God. And if we're just believe, if we simply think we believe, but we don't do anything, we're in the realm of, we're on Satan's team. But that's the third point of our of the message, is that to receive God's word is we must choose to do it. He says, which is that indeed at work in you who believe. James makes it very simple. He says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. What is changing in your life behaviorally because you read God's word today? Because you heard God's word today? Did you believe it? And are you doing anything about it? Paul says to the Corinthian church, who a very difficult church, he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Paul here reveals that it starts with our thoughts. We have an idea, and we think that's a good idea, and we pursue that idea, and it turns out to be a bad idea. But if we get a good idea, and the Word of God is full of good ideas, we start to implement those ideas by obeying them and being obedient to Christ. And, you know, every day we're confronted with good ideas and bad ideas, kind of like every day we're confronted with good food and bad food. And it's a battle every day, because there's a part of us that wants the bad food. There's a part of us that wants to do these things that feel so good. But then there's another part of us that says, well, I want to be healthy. I want to maintain. I want to be strong. I want to feel good over the long haul. There's a constant battle, just like there's a constant battle with food every day. There are good ideas to follow. There are bad ideas to follow. But if you follow God's word, you're following successful ideas. What are some examples of this? And I'm just going to give you three real quick, and then we're going to finish up. God's word can dissolve fear and anxiety. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Let me ask you, what's the promise here? How many of your needs will God meet? How many? How many of them? Does that include physical, material needs? Does that include emotional needs? Does that include relational needs? God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. If we choose to believe that. And then if we choose to act on that. It doesn't mean fear and anxiety will go away immediately or forever, because as we grow, the fear and anxiety, the problems in life get bigger, and it says, well, we've never faced this before, but we learn to trust God that he will meet all of our needs, and it will dissolve fear and anxiety at that level as well. It's just a little red light on our dashboard showing us we need to trust and not be afraid. God's word can do this based on what you do with God's promises. God says to Isaiah, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Another area that God's word can help is it releases anger and bitterness. We get angry and bitter because we've been violated in life. We've been treated unjustly, no matter at what level. And some people have been treated unjustly at very deep levels. But God promises here, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." It's not for us to avenge. It's for God to avenge. And he will repay one of two ways. One of two ways is if that whoever treated you unjustly never repents of their sin, there is a destiny that they will have to go through. And that's one of the purposes of hell, is that people have committed themselves to themselves and do not care about other humans. Another way that God deals with this is on the cross. If that person who has treated you unjustly comes to their senses and repents of their sin, that sin is paid for on the cross. And if we say, well, that doesn't do anything for the justice, I say, well, how many of us have been forgiven because of the cross? And so God says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. And then one last thing that God's word can do is God's word can protect from sin and temptation. David says, I have treasured your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then Paul tells the Corinthian church, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. Everybody goes through it. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Look for the escape hatch. Look for the way out. My dad shared this story with me many years ago that he was a counselor, and he used this with a lot of his clients who dealt with difficulties and habits and addictions in their life. This is a lady named Portia, and I can't read her last name on there, but it says she describes this scenario that everybody goes through. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. I walk down the same street the next day. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I am in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes me a long time to get out. But they eventually get out. The next day, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. The next day, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. The next day, I walk down another street. If you can get that little metaphor, it helps us to grow as we battle sin and temptation. Reagan says here, within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. King David says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Who or what are you listening to? Father, I pray that you'd help us, that you would do the miraculous work that I cannot do, to develop within us a delight, a desire, a craving for what you have said, what you say, that you'd help us to devour the Word of God into our life, to allow it to penetrate, to change the way we think, to clarify the way we think, who we think, how we think about you, how we think about ourselves, how we think about other people, that other people are just humans who need your help as well. And I pray that you'd help each person in this room, each person who watches this feed, to be students of your word, who hear it, who believe it, and do it. And to enjoy the success and prosperity that you have promised that it would bring. Please do that miraculous work. Help people to receive your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as the youth will close our service. And again, I want to thank you for continuing to support Grace Church as we teach God's word in a way that helps us live out our faith in our daily life.